or philosophically inclined. Today I'm going to speak and just give history of the appearance and life activities of Bhishma Dev. First I'll read this sloka here from the ninth chapter. This is when the Pandavas, after the battle of Kurukshetra, came again to the battlefield of Kurukshetra to have final darshan of Bhishma Dev. So I'll read and then you can repeat after. Sutta uvacha iti bhita prajadrohat sarvadharma vivit isaya tato vinasanyam pragad yatra devo varato apatat sutta uvacha iti bihita praja drohat sarvadharma vivittasya tato vinasanyam pragad yatra deva varato apatat. Anyone else? Sutta uvacha iti vihata prajodrohat sarvadharma. Uvacha iti bihata prajadrohat sarvadharma vivitsaya tato vinasayam praghad yatardevo varato apatat. Matujis Sutta uvacha sarvadharma vivitasya tano vinasanam pragad tato devo varat apatat. Sutta uvacha. Sri Sutta Goswami said, iti, thus, bihita, being afraid of, prajadrohat, because of killing the subjects, sarva, all, dharma vivinishanam, the place where the fight was held, pragat, he went, yatra, where, deva varta, Bhishma Deva, apatat, lay down for passing away. Translation, Sutta Goswami said, being afraid for having killed so many subjects on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira went to the scene of the massacre. There, Bhishma Dev was lying on a bed of arrows, about to pass away. Purport. in this ninth chapter, as it is willed by Lord Sri Krishna, Bhishma Dev will impart instructions to King Yudhisthira on the subject of occupational duties. Bhishma Dev will also offer his last prayers to the Lord on the verge of passing away from this mortal world and thus becoming liberated from the bondage of further material engagements. Bhishma Deva was endowed with the power of leaving his material body at will, and his lying down on a bed of arrows was his own choice. This passing away of the great warrior attracted the attention of all contemporary elites, and all of them assembled there to show their feeling of love, respect, and affection for the great soul. So we'll start. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayat. Nastaprayasu Abhadrasyu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavate Uttam Sloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. So again, this is the Astami of Bhishma Deva. There are many things about Bhishma Deva. One is that he was one of the 12 Mahajans. So everyone knows what a Mahajan is. Maha means great, and Jan means with knowledge. So of these 12 Mahajans, Brahma, Narada, Shiva, the four Kumaras, Kapila, Manu, Prahlad, Bhishma, Janaka, Sukadeva Goswami, Bali Maharaj, and Yamaraj. All of these were great, knowledgeable individuals on the subject of self realization. So we will begin with the birth of Bhishma. But when Bhishma was born, he was not born as Bhishma Dev. He was born as Devarata. He was the son of Shantanu, and Gangadev, yes. So what had happened was that one day Shantanu was walking along the banks of the Ganges, and he saw this exquisitely beautiful woman and wanted to approach her. So upon doing so, he said, "My dear lady, I would like to talk to you." But she rebuked him and said, "No, not today. tomorrow you come back again, and I will, you know, have a discussion with you. So the next day, when he went back to the Ganges River, he again found this charming lady, and he told her that he wanted to marry her. And Mother Ganga agreed to marry him under one condition. And this condition was that whatever she did during their time of marriage, he would not question her about her activities. And as soon as he would question her about her behavior, she would leave him and go away. So because Shantanu was so much in love with Ganga, he agreed to her terms, and they began their household life together. And as with any household family, soon there was a progeny, there was a child born. And in the palace, everyone was excited at the birth of this boy. And Shantanu was also very happy. He was very, very pleased. But immediately, Ganga Devi took the child and threw the child into the river and drowned the child in the waters of the Ganges. So this behavior continued with each birth. Seven boys were born, and immediately they were thrown into the river Ganges and left their bodies. After this type of activity continued for so long, Shantanu, he became so frustrated. And at the birth of his eighth child, he went into the waters of the Ganges himself to retrieve the child that his wife was going to drown in the waters. So when this happened, Shantanu asked his wife, "Why are you doing this? Why have you been killing our sons in such a fashion?" And she told him that in reality, she hadn't been killing their sons, but she had been liberating them from a curse that they had received sometime in the past. And now that you have asked me a question, I am also freed from my curse. And then she began to explain her situation, and she told that in her husband's previous life, He was a great Raja, and he was friends with Lord Indra. And from time to time, he would visit Indra to watch the beautiful Apsara ladies dance. And on one occasion, Ganga, along with her father, who is Lord Brahma, were also present in that assembly. And during this performance by Apsaras, glances were being exchanged between Santaru and also Ganga Devi. But during these exchanges, there was a gust of wind that came, and it blew away the cloth covering the body of Ganga Devi. And the assemblages of devatas, demigods, and other personages, out of respect and shame, lowered their eyes. But Shantaro continued to look at the body of Ganga Devi. This angered Brahma, and he cursed Shantaro that he would have to take birth amongst the human beings. And in the same way, Ganga was also cursed that I also will be cursed to take birth in the land of humans. So both of them came here, they met, and they had children. All of them, except for the last child, were thrown into the river. Now, these sons were also devatas that had been cured by Vasishta to take birth in the land of humans, because they had conspired to steal from him Kamaduk, a milk-giving, a wish-giving cow that he had, and it was very prized in his collection. And as a result, once Ganga Devi had fulfilled her term here, and her curse had been lifted because her husband had asked her a question, she told him that, "I will take my son with me." But the other devatas who had been cursed also to be born as Ganga's son told her that the one remaining son who stayed on earth, Devarata, would be given special powers. Each of them, as being demigods and devatas, had certain Shishi Gornitai, Shishi Krishna Balaram, Shishi Radhe Shamashundar Lalita Vishakadevi. They all had special powers, and they told her that they would each bestow part of their powers onto Devarata. But Ganga Devi told her that, "Now that I have this son, I'm going to take him with me. And when he is grown, I will return him back to you." So Ganga Devi took her son Devaratna back to Brahmaloka, and there he remained with his mother for some time. But as she had promised, when he reached a certain age, actually it was 16 years old, she had brought him back to this earthly domain. And people began to complain that there was this boy who was stopping the flow of the Ganges River by shooting arrows into the water, making a dam and not allowing the river to flow in its natural course. So Shantanu went to investigate this, and when he saw the behavior of this boy, he became angry, and he was ready to have a fight with this young man. Then at that time Ganga Devi appeared, and she told Shantanu that this is your son, and at that time she gave possession of the boy to Shantanu, and he brought him home to his palace, where he was introduced to his guru Parsaram and Brihaspati. And at that time he was declared crown prince to become the next king of the Raja's kingdom. But up until this time he was known as Devaratna, and now he was going to become Bhishma. Because one day Devaratna was noticing the behavior of his father, and saw that his father was not pleasant, not happy, and he asked his father, "What's troubling you, father?" And his father, he couldn't answer him properly. Bhishma, or Devaratna, he consulted with the elderly ministers and priests in the palace, and found that Shantanu was infatuated with Dasharaja's daughter, Satyavati. And this was troubling him, because Satyavati's father wasn't ready to give his daughter in marriage to Shantanu, because he wanted his sons to become the heir to the throne. And as long as Bhishma was there, he was next in line, or Devaratna was there, he was next in line to become the king, because he had already been declared that he would become. So upon hearing this, in order to mitigate his father's unhappiness, Devarata vowed that first he would never ask for his father's kingdom, meaning that Satyavati's sons would be entitled to take the kingdom and rule as they so desired. But still, Dasya was not satisfied, because he said that your children in the future may lay claim to this kingdom, and my grandchildren, they will lose control of the kingdom and be cast away. So Devarata took another vow at that time that he would also never marry. And so, not being married, he would have no children, and the kingdom would remain in Dasya's lineage. When he made this vow, the devas, the demigods, they heard this unusual and very devout vow that he had made, not to marry and to never take the kingdom for himself, that they began showering him with flowers, and they announced from the heavens that only you could make such a bhijma, and from this day forth you will be known as bhijma. So bhijma means difficult. So even at this time, it was a very difficult vow to remain celibate and not enter into household life. But they praised him and said, from this day forward, you will be known as Bhishma Pitamaha. And his father was very, very, very impressed by his dedication, and he also gave him a boon or a benediction that he could choose the time that he wanted to die. So for everyone else, mritu or death is behind us, waiting at any moment, may come and take us, and we have no control over when or how we will leave these bodies. But for Bhishma Deva, because of his sincerity in maintaining his vow, just to please his father, he was given this special benediction that he could choose the time of death that he would have. So we know that Bhishma was a great warrior, and in the matters of battle and fighting, he was the guru to both the Kurus and the Pandavas. He taught them all how to fight. And he was such a great warrior that even his own guru, he had a a battle with him, Parsaram. So we know that Parsaram was incarnation of Lord Krishna, who killed all of the Kshatriya kings, what, 27 times or something, some number such as that. But on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he encountered Bhishma and challenged him to fight. But Bhishma was on a chariot, and it was inappropriate for a Kshatriya on a chariot to fight against a foot soldier. They had to be on equal fighting levels, otherwise it would bring disgrace or unkind thoughts about this Kshatriya's behavior. So Bhishma told Parsaram, after getting down from his chariot, first you get a chariot and then I will fight with you. Parsaram told him, he says, you are looking at me with incorrect vision. You please look more closely at myself. And Bhishma looked again, and he saw that even though Parsaram was standing on the earth itself was Parsaram's chariot. He was there, and Bhishma, with proper vision now, could see the wheels and the earth as being a chariot. So they were engaged in fight. In the Kuru's army, Bhishma was chosen to be the commander and chief of their brigades, their army, and he remained so among all of the other fighters, the only soldier to fight from the beginning to the end when he left this mortal world. So his father and Satyavati, they had two sons. Their names were Chitranagad and Vichhatavira. And both of them grew to be fine, handsome young men. And Bhishma put Chitranaga in as the king. And he, as all kings were responsible to do, traveled throughout the kingdom, challenging anyone who were thinking he was not qualified or against his authority. So in this way he continued, and he came across one Gandharva who had the same name as him. And this Gandharva was puffed up and asked him, why do you have the same name as me? And so in this way he challenged them, and they fought together for 3 years, going back and forth. And finally Chitranaga was killed by the Gandharva. So Bhishma appointed his brother to be the new king. And a king needs a wife. And so they were asked to find a suitable bride for Vitravirya. And in the kingdom of Kashi, he had three daughters. Their names were Amba, Ambabika, and Ambalakka. And all of these girls, they were of marriageable age. And so Bhishma went there to their kingdom. Now, at this time, he was preparing, what is it called? It's the process before a marriage where suitors come to the kingdom or to the palace of the king and show their prowess in order to win the hand of the suited girl in marriage, just like Arjuna did for Draupadi by shooting, looking in the barrel of water and shooting the eye of the fish. So when Bhishma appeared at this ceremony, everyone was a little bit confused because they knew of his vow of celibacy, and he said that I have come here on behalf of the king, and I am going to take all three of these girls to Hanishtapur, and they will become the bride of the king. But once they arrived back into Hanishtapura, Ambiki, she was very sad, and she had told the king that, I do not love you, I love Salva Kumar, and I want to marry him. And so hearing this, he was upset and asked, why did you bring this woman here when she has no intentions of marrying me? And so they asked her this question, and she says, at that time I was afraid of Bhishma. So Bhishma returned her back to the kingdom of Kashi to Salva Kumar, and he rebuked her because of his skirmish with Bhishma, where he had lost his fight and would not marry her. And so she became very distraught, and she cursed Bhishma that sometime in the future, it doesn't matter how many births I have to take, I will be the cause of your death. So what had happened is that in a future life, she was born as Shikhandi, who was also a warrior in the battle of Kurukshetra. After fighting for so many days, Dronacharya rebuked Bhishma, saying that you are not fighting to your full potential against the Pandavas, so therefore you must step up your game and become more ferocious in your fighting against the Pandavas. So he told them that on the 10th day I will kill at least one of the Pandavas, or I myself will die. And everybody knew that this was a very unusual proclamation, because they knew that none of the Pandavas would die in this battle, and also that Bhishma could not be killed. And when they asked him about this, he told them, you go speak with Krishna and he will tell you the story. And so Yudhisthira and his brothers went to Krishna, and he told them the story of Ambiki. And now Shukanda, who in a previous birth was Ambiki, would be the suited person to fight against Bhishma, because in Bhishma's eyes he was still a woman, and Bhishma had proclaimed that he would never take up arms against a woman in the battle. And so the Pandavas told Shikhandi that tomorrow you will fight against Bhishmadev. And they began fighting, and Bhishma would not do anything, just continued to allow Shikhandi to shoot arrows at him, and his body became more and more impaled with arrows, but still he did not die. So Krishna had the idea that, Shikhandi, you stand on Arjuna's chariot in front of Arjuna with your bow drawn, and from your behind Arjuna will shoot arrows. And we know that Arjuna was the greatest archer of all, so he stood behind Shikhandi and continued to shoot arrows more and more and more and more and more into the body of Bhishmadev. And he continued to take this assault until finally there were so many arrows in his body that he fell on the ground. And because of having so many arrows in his body, he did not touch the ground. His body was laying on this bed of arrows. And he just laid there. And the rules of engagement in this time are different than the way wars are fought today. At the end of each day, they would stop their fighting. They would go to the camps of their enemy. They would have merriment together. And the wounded were always removed from the battlefield. So Bhishma's body was taken to one side, but he continued to lay in that position even after the battle had finished, because he wanted to make sure that the Pandavas were rightfully re-enthroned in the kingdom of Hanishtapura. And The sun was in the southern hemisphere at that time, and he wanted to wait until it reached the northern hemisphere. So during that time, waiting for this transition to take place, this verse here that we had just read today, where the Pandavas came to the battlefield along with Lord Krishna to inquire from Bhishma on the principles of Dharma. So he began to speak about Dharma to Yudhisthira because he was aggrieved at the loss of so many lives in this battle. But Draupadi, upon hearing Bhishma speaking about Dharma, began to laugh. And he was curious and inquired, "My dear mother, why are you laughing at what I am speaking?" And he says, "Because when in the assembly house I was tried to be disrobed, you did nothing. You did not come to my defense, which is proper Dharma." And he said that at that time my body had become polluted by the association of the Kurus, but now that my body has been pierced by so many arrows, all of this impurity has drained from my body, and now I can speak and see everything with clarity. So at that time, the sun had changed and was now in the southern hemisphere, or the northern hemisphere, I'm sorry, and was suitable time for Bhishma to leave his body. And being very fortunate, he was in the assembly of all of the devatas, the demigods, and great sages and great personalities, and most importantly, his most beloved Lord Krishna was there in front of him when he left his body. So we should all pray that we can be so fortunate that at the time of death we are in the assembly of also great Vaishnavas and have the Lord present before our eyes. So I'll stop here. This is kind of a brief history of Bhishma Deva. If there's any questions or comments or something someone wants to... Yes, Mataji? I don't have a microphone here.
Prabhu, thank you for a wonderful class, and this is one of my favorite topics that I've read many times about in the Mahabharata. I was just always unclear about this division of teachings that the three teachers are teaching Pandavas. You said in your class that Bhishma Dev was teaching Pandavas also as his students.
Yes.
But they also had Kripacharya and Dronacharya.
Yes.
So please kindly can you elaborate what was exactly Bhishma Dev teaching Pandavas and what was Kripacharya teaching them and Dronacharya?
Well, all of them had different skills. So it's just like in school, you have many teachers. One teaches you mathematics, one teaches you science, one teaches you history. So in this way, all of these great Kshatriya Acharyas would teach their skills, how to throw arrows, how to invoke different weapons. So they had these skill sets, and this is how what they did. So you can't just go to school and study one subject. You have to take a whole course in order to pass. So this is what happened.
Do you know what Bhishma Dev taught them? Was it archery? Or
I don't know. I'm sorry. Exactly. But anyway, for the Pandavas, Bhishma was more than just their teacher. He was their very dear friend, and they addressed him as grandfather. You know, so, but I don't know what fighting skills he taught.
All right, thank you very
Hare
much.
Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh yes, one more question. Okay, I'm sorry.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
I'm always curious to know if Bhishma Dev ate prasadam.
Did he eat prasadam?
Yes.
It doesn't say that, he kept a deity in his house and, you know, what type of puja he did. But because he was friends of the Pandavas and he lived in their palace, and Krishna was always a constant visitor there, they would eat together, they would talk together. So in that way, he's taking prasadam. Haribo. Yes. That maybe another time. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna.